Welcome to the Shepherd Thoughts Podcast, an audio resource that encourages biblical thinking for biblical living as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd. For more episodes and other helpful resources online, visit shepherdthoughts.com. And now, here's your host, Pastor Thomas Overmiller.
Welcome to the Shepherd Thoughts Podcast. This is Pastor Thomas Overmiller, and we are together here for episode 182, and we're also continuing a series that we're calling Misused Bible Verses, and this is example 9 of a misused Bible verse in our series. Some verses of Scripture tend to relax our minds and calm our hearts in an extra special way. The words of Jeremiah 29:11-13 are like this. "For I know the plans that I have planned for you, says the Lord, plans of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. Then you will seek me and find me, when you seek me with your whole heart." We easily interpret these soothing words to mean something like, if I pray to God, then I will find the perfect spouse, discover my dream job, have a successful business, enjoy a happy and harmonious marriage, have a career, and expect good health. For many, these verses are a long and poetic way of saying, God promises that everything is going to work out really great for me, or I've got a great life ahead. Well, these verses were actually written during a season of judgment. The prophet Jeremiah wrote these words from God as part of a letter. He sent this letter to Jews who had recently been taken as prisoners of war in Babylon. Jeremiah 29, verse 1 and 4 describe this. In this letter to the Jews in captivity, Jeremiah confirmed that their captivity would continue for 70 years. He offered no hope of any earlier release. This set of verses was also written to correct false prophets. The bleak outlook of 70 years in captivity differed markedly from the favorable prediction of another prophet named Hananiah. This man claimed that the Israelites would return to Jerusalem in only 2 years or less. You'll find this in Jeremiah 28. Jeremiah denounced this prediction, though, as false and misleading, and he predicted a sudden death for Hananiah, which did happen only weeks later. In addition to Hananiah, it seems that other false prophets were attempting to give similar favorable predictions. Jeremiah mentions them in Jeremiah 29:8-9, right before the verses that we're looking at. This letter was written to encourage acceptance. You see, Jeremiah wrote this letter to the Jews in captivity to encourage the Israelites to accept their circumstances rather than look for a way to escape. Interestingly enough, we often use these verses as the basis for praying to escape difficulty. Well, Jeremiah encouraged the Jewish people to settle down in the foreign cities where they had been placed, to build houses, to plant gardens, to marry, to raise children, and to contribute to the economic progress of the pagan cities. Why? Because by doing so, they would contribute to their own well-being and prosperity through their captivity. When you consider the 70-year time span, you find that this letter and this prophecy was written for a future time and generation. This 70-year time span of captivity, Moses identified as a full lifespan. In Psalm 90 and verse 10, he mentions that the days of our lives are 70 years. And the encouragement to raise children and grandchildren, when you see that, you discover an important detail. The promise of Jeremiah 29:11-13 would not apply to the immediate generation of Israelites. This promise applied to the children and grandchildren instead. for most of the adults, this promise would never come to pass in their lifetime. They would die of natural causes before the 70 years transpired. They were already old enough to be adults, and so to live another 70 years for most was unlikely. So they would not see the end result in most cases. This was written to the nation of Israel. God issued this promise in Jeremiah 29:11-13 to the nation of Israel, not to first or 21st century believers. Furthermore, he issued this promise not to Israel at any time, but for a specific historical event in the history of Israel, the return of the Israelites from the foreign cities of Babylon later in the 5th century BC. The books of Ezra and Nehemiah record the events and stages of this return when it did occur. Just as the Jewish people should be careful not to apply this promise to every difficulty they faced, we also should be even more careful not to apply this promise loosely for ourselves in this day, 25 centuries later, as non-Jewish people. These verses were written to inspire hope. The words of Jeremiah 29:11-13 encouraged the Israelites in Babylon to settle down for the long haul, knowing that their captivity was part of a larger, longer plan that God was working out. They could rest assured, knowing that the end result would be a return to Israel and Jerusalem in exactly 70 years. They could know this lengthy stay in Babylon, that it would lead to their ultimate welfare, prosperity, and well-being. That's what peace means. It conveys the idea of welfare and prosperity and well-being. What's more, this prophecy guaranteed that the Israelites would not only return to Israel, but more importantly, they would return to a close, wholehearted relationship with the Lord. We find that in our verses. When it says that you will seek me and find me when you search for me with your whole heart. Though the Israelites wanted to return to their land, God wanted them to return to him even more. And so the 70-year captivity would fulfill this divine desire. As you can see, these verses do not guarantee concrete favorable outcomes in your lifetime today. After all, they didn't even guarantee such outcomes for their original audience. Instead, they encouraged a generation of Israelites, a specific generation, to accept their unpleasant and undesirable circumstances for the duration of their lives, knowing that a greater good would transpire for their nation in a future generation. Even so, we should not dismiss these verses as irrelevant for our lives today. Paul reminded Timothy that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness. By Scripture here, Paul especially refers to Old Testament statements, just like Jeremiah 29:11-13. To the church at Rome, Paul also said this, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." Romans 15:4. Once again, Paul here is referring especially to the Old Testament writings, like Jeremiah 29:11-13. So how can you learn patience, receive comfort, and enjoy hope from this prophecy to Israel in captivity to Babylon? Consider the following 7 ways. Number 1, when you experience difficult circumstances, you can trust that God is working out a larger long-range plan that reaches far beyond your present discomfort. This is an especially appropriate application when your difficulties are somehow the consequence of either your wrong choices or the wrong choices of someone in your life, or perhaps even the collective sins of your church, your nation, or your world. Number 2, unlike Israel, you will not have the luxury of knowing in advance the time span of God's long-range plan. In some cases, you may experience resolution within your lifetime. In other cases, a resolution may not occur until a later generation after you've passed away. No matter what, these verses remind you to rest in God's care and to follow His guidance in Scripture, regardless of whether this patient approach leads to favorable experiences for you now. Number 3, be willing to endure hardship throughout your lifetime, knowing that a full lifetime of suffering may lead to more positive outcomes for the people who will come after you. These people include your children, your friends, your church, your neighbors, your community at large, or newer believers whom you are mentoring and serving. Number 4, give yourself wholeheartedly to your work and to your roles in this world. Don't bail out and withdraw yourself from contributing to the prosperity of your employer or your nation. After all, by giving your best, you will end up benefiting not only your community and your world, but yourself and your family also, and also the kingdom of God, what God is doing in the world today. Number 5, disregard those voices which guarantee prolific material prosperity and insist that immediate deliverance is a sign of God's approval and is always God's intent. God may sometimes bless this way and loves to do so, and it is not always His intent. Like the false prophets who challenged Jeremiah, false teachers damage the faith of people today. God does not always guarantee deliverance from circumstantial suffering, but He does provide comfort and hope for any situation. Number 6, foster a close relationship with God today. If you have never been born again, then you should turn to Christ as your God and Savior and place your complete trust in Him today. You do not have to wait for decades to call out to God for salvation. If you have already begun to follow Jesus, then you should nurture a growing closeness with God through faithful obedience and prayer. Finally, number 7, rest in hope, knowing that many prophecies of Scripture, though not this one, point ahead to a time when God will finalize His triumph over all evil, establish a perfect kingdom that will last forever, and remove all vestiges of evil from your life. This future hope should not make you restless today, but it should enable you to accept your current, less fortunate circumstances in a wicked, fallen world, because God knows what He is doing, and the end result is always certain. So our verses, Jeremiah 29:11-13, I know the plans that I have planned for you, says the Lord, plans of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. Then you will seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart. I pray that you understand these verses better and that you will better apply them to your life the way that God intends. God bless you.
This has been another edition of the Shepherd Thoughts Podcast. For more episodes and other helpful resources online, visit shepherdthoughts.com. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ enable you to devote your heart and mind to biblical thinking for biblical living. Thank you for listening.